Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Avocet Mining Mine Plan and Results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, the 8th of August, 2013. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, David Carter. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, Johnny. Welcome, everyone, to this presentation. We've got two items of news today, our new life of mine plan for Anata and also our Q2 results. For those of you that may be unfamiliar with Avocet, this map shows our footprint with the Anata mine in the north of Burkina Faso, together with Souma, our satellite project with some 800,000 ounces in resource. Also shown on the map is our other asset, the Tri-K project in Guinea, which is an advanced project based on heap leach technology and has potential to be our next new mine, and I'll speak more about that deeper into the presentation. Moving on to the next slide, the highlights. Absolutely delighted to announce our new life of mine plan. It's the culmination of many, many months of work by an expert team, one of whom is here today, Clayton Reeves. Absolutely key to this is it's much, much stronger cash flows. $250 million of cash flow after capital expenditure at $1,300 gold price. It has much more gold in the life of mine plan, up 36% from the previous plan, and it has lower operating costs as well at some $906 an ounce over the life. Turning to the Q2 results, we produced 31,285 ounces in the quarter at $1,238 an ounce. That figure does include royalties. What is of note is that in June, we recovered over 12,000 ounces of gold, and that has produced provided the platform from which we will now move forward. We've improved the grade of the ore milled as a result of accessing the oxide ore at Minso East during the quarter, and that has enabled the recoveries to grow. And I've got a slide on that deeper in the presentation to explain that further. On the cost front, we now have an embedded culture of cost saving right across the business, and costs will fall in the next couple of quarters, principally as a result of standing down the mining contractor we employed this time last year, and that's going to save about $1 million a month going forward. Just some detail on the new plan. You can see in the graph there the old plan versus the new, and you can see in every year the number of ounces is up, and that's where the 36% increase is derived from. 960,000 ounces of contained gold rather than the previous 700,000 ounces. Very, very important factor which underpins this new life of mine plan is a blinding circuit. Our recoveries as a result of implementing that project improved from 78% to 83%. And this plan is cash generative at lower gold prices. We've stress tested it, and it does produce cash, particularly during the hedge period, which runs until 2016. And at the $1,300 spot, $65 million of cash is generated during that period. Just some detail on the new blinding circuit. The key takeaway on this slide is that it's a very, very simple project. It only has a capital cost of $6 million, and when it's commissioned, there will be little or no disruption to the existing operation. We can continue processing the ore Just to explain a bit there, the items in red are the existing CIL tanks and circuits. The new kit are the blue items. We will feed the ore into these mixing tanks where the blinding reagent will be added. It'll probably be kerosene in most cases. That again is fed into this number one tank, which will become a scavenging tank. We will add fresh carbon in there to absorb any surplus blinding reagent. The carbon will be regenerated in this new kiln here, and then the blinded ore carries on through the circuit as normal. We're adding a couple of additional CIL tanks, one to replace the scavenging tank, and the other to increase residence time to underpin the recoveries. I think you can see this is a very, very simple project, which is low risk, and we will have this commissioned by Q2 next year, during which time we will remain on oxide ore. I think I've covered most of this slide already. Just to re-emphasize, whilst we're building this this new blinding circuit, we have arranged the mining, so we will process oxide ore with recoveries of 90% or so. And this just emphasizes the low risk way we're operating in Arta in the meantime. In terms of the new mine plan, on that chart you can see in the yellow, that was the old plan with 4 years of mining. It was the game of two halves, 4 years of mining, 4 years of processing. Here we've been able to spread the mining over 7 years with 2 years of processing at the end. I think of critical importance is that during the hedge period up until 2016, we're actually mining 9 million tons less, and that has an impact on reducing our costs during that period and enables us to be cash generative, whereas before the cash flows in that critical hedge period were quite weak. More on costs here. Again, the red line is the old plan, the game of two halves, 4 years of mining, 4 years of processing. Here you can see the costs are lower and more evenly spread. But the last 2 years here, where we just processing ore, with a big boost to cash flow. As you can see, costs reduce by about $60 down to $906, and critically, the all-in cash cost, including capex, reduces below the key hurdle of $1,000 to $958 during the plan period. Some remarks on our other strategic project, Tri-K. The key thing here is that we've already submitted the environmental social impact assessment to the government in Conakry, together with an interim update presentation in last month. It was very well received by the government. We've got a good working relationship, and we're on track to deliver the full feasibility study by year end, and we're already working on the exploitation permit, which we hope to receive round about that time. Just a few slides on the Q2 results. For those of you listening in, we're now on slide 11. As you can see, we did produce the 31,245 ounces. The mining was principally in Minfo down at the south of the Anata Trend. The other ore came from Sayuba and Central Pits, principally oxide ore, and that enabled the recoveries to be up from 82% to 87% in the quarter, and very importantly, the grade was higher as we predicted. These results were very much in line with our expectations for the quarter. On costs, I will let Mike, who's got some slides on that, to dive into more detail there. think it's important to explain why we're confident about our 135,000 ounce guidance. There you can see the evolution of the improvement in grade and recoveries during quarter two, and that, as I described, provides the platform for the rest of the year. We do expect similar production performance throughout the second half of the year, having recovered 12,000 ounces in June. Moving on to slide 13, as I said, there is very much an embedded cost-saving culture throughout the company. On CapEx, our original guided number was $20 million. We've reduced that through savings in the construction of our new tailings management facility down to about $15 million. We expect to spend about $3 million on the new blinding circuit, so our outturn CapEx figure will be about $18 million. On OpEx, we will save about $1 million a month from the standing down the mining contractor. And I have to say, some of the other cost-saving measures have come from people in West Africa. We've rationalized our transit accommodation and office in Ouagadougou. That wasn't something that was initiated from head office. It came from below, and we now have a single unit in Ouagadougou, and that's going to save about $250,000 a year. And we've also reduced the number of transits from site to Wagga to every other day from doing it every other day, and that's going to save about $500,000. One of the things I'm particularly pleased about is the photograph of our new lube truck. We had in our budget for this year a new truck, which was going to cost about $350,000. During my last visit to site, the guys there took me to the workshop to very proudly show me this new truck that they've basically built themselves from a scrap chassis that was in the graveyard, and that has cost less than $30,000 and is already in service, pumping up the tires of the trucks and carrying out the lubrication and minor maintenance. So really good effort by the guys at Anata. And just to say, cost savings aren't confined to West Africa. At head office, we have saved 5 full-time equivalent positions. That's a 25% reduction in our headcount. I'll finish there and hand over to Mike, who will run through the financial review.
Thanks, David. Morning, all. Looking at the income statement, the first point to make is the EBITDA has obviously been impacted by the lower spot prices, which dropped below 1,200 at times during the quarter, and also by increase in costs, and maintenance has been one of the major features there, including the timing of maintenance both in the mine and the plant. Now, on this income statement slide on page 15, there are obviously a lot of exceptional items, and this is really IFRS doing its thing, unfortunately. I would say that all of the impairments during the quarter were the reflection of a falling gold price, and in some cases that's been a hit to profit, and in others it's been an increase in profit. So the impairment of mining assets is a reflection that the life of mine NPV, although it's a stronger life of mine, the prices mean that relative to what was there before, the life of mine NPV is lower, and therefore that's resulted in an impairment of Anata's mining assets of $73 million. Conversely, the hedge liability, which we recognized earlier in the year, has fallen simply because the gold price is lower, and therefore the liability associated with the hedge has decreased. As the liability decreased, we recognize that as a $61 million exceptional gain. We move on to the cash flow statement. The key point to make really on quarter two's results is in working capital. There's a negative there on page 16 of $11 million. And this is spread between inventory, including more stockpile, an increase in ore stockpile during the quarter, and also the payment down of payables or suppliers really reflects the timing of cash runs payments to suppliers in the previous quarter, so Q1. It went the other way, and there was a positive cash flow from suppliers payments of $8 million. So the key point there is it's a negative. It does fluctuate, as I've said in previous quarters, and I would expect it to continue fluctuating over the next X quarters. And really the long-term view on working capital is the right one to take. In terms of CapEx, relatively modest CapEx, which are really around the tailings facility, and that work is now complete at $1.6 million in the quarter, and other CapEx really associated with mining fleet rebuilds and minimal amounts in the plant. As far as exploration is concerned, the number there of $5.1 million does include the Tri-K feasibility work, so it's not just greenfield work. We look at the costs on page 17, the cash costs. In Q1, they were $1,169. In Q2, that's risen slightly to $1,238. The impact of grade and recovery was positive on costs. Higher grade and recovery, as David showed earlier, building up during the quarter, had a beneficial impact of about $170. That was offset by movements in gold in circuit. Now, that's a bit of a technical phrase, but what it's really meaning is that we've done all of the work, we've done all of the costs, and we have added gold into the circuit. We haven't poured it, and therefore it doesn't count as production. It's there, but it's in circuit at the end of the quarter. And so that reduces the production. In the previous quarter, it was the reverse. So we took ounces out of circuit. That increased the production, and quarter on quarter, that's had the impact of increasing the cash cost by $150. So I think that's an important point to make, as it does rather skew the final number. If we look at mining and mill costs and admin, maintenance, as I've said, is the main area, and the timing of maintenance has pushed costs up in the quarter. In admin, admin tends to be rather spotty in terms of insurance, and so it has proved in Q2, quite a big hit on insurance, and that's really the major factor within the $28 increase there. We look at a little more detail on mining costs on page 18. What we can see there is that the tons mined have actually dropped by 3%, but the cost per ton has increased by 14%, and that's indicative of costs that are not as directly associated with the activity in the period, and maintenance is the major one there. In other words, maintenance cycles are not directly related to the amount of tons that we mine in a particular quarter. The previous quarter maintenance, as you can see, was quite a bit lower. The prior quarter to that, Q4 last year, was higher, and the one before that was smaller. So it does fluctuate. It's increased in Q2, and that's the major driver behind increases, accompanied with some increase in explosive drilling and blasting costs, explosives. In the mining side, the AMS contract fleet's now been demobilized. I think David mentioned earlier that will result in a saving of mining costs of about $1.1 million per month. From now on. Looking at the plants on page 19, a somewhat similar story, 1% higher tons milled, cost per ton up 5%, a fair amount of work in both the SAG mills and the ball mills during the quarter with some liner changes both in the SAG mill and ball mill, and indeed motor replacement work. That's not work that does get done every quarter, and therefore, again, it's part of the timing of maintenance that I've been talking about. In reagents, we have seen some decreases in usage in cyanide, but we've also seen some price increases in other reagents, notably lime. So overall, slightly up in reagents. I am, however, expecting some decrease in price on the cyanide side to come through, and that's as a result of more recent deliveries and contract prices. We look at page 20, Page 20 represents the usual analysis of all of the costs, which I think is useful just to give an indication, not least of the extent of the fuel cost at 25% of our cost. Fuel costs in the quarter were about $1.42 per litre, which is slightly up on the price that it's been in the previous quarter, which is $1.40, and prior quarters in the high $1.30s. Turn back to David.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
Okay, just to summarise then, the rest of this year we will absolutely be focusing on optimising Anata's cash flows with a particular focus on further cost reductions and delivering on our remaining six months of production, very much focusing on the mining of oxide ore to give us the guided figure of 135,000 ounces. Critical to underpinning the new life of mine plan is constructing this new blinding circuit. So that's clearly going to be a focus for the team to deliver that on time and on budget. And completing the Tri-K feasibility study is a major piece of work. And that, together with the new life of mine plan, I think constructs the investment case for Avocet, and that then feeds into the to the year-end refinancing that we've spoken about. So that completes the formal presentation. So I'll be very happy to take any questions here in the room, and then we'll go on to the people that are on the line. So I think Jonathan, you were the first up with your hand. So go ahead. If you just say for people that are on the line your name and organisation, that would be very useful. Well, the overall capex in the life of mine plan totals about $50 million. We've actually constructed the TMF now, so that isn't that's sort of done. The actual mining annual mining tonnages decline over the period. We've had our peak, so we believe we can we don't need a fourth mining fleet, which is something we've spoken previously, and that had a ticket price of about $20 to $25 million. So we've given a lot of our fleet a second life with the rebuilds we've done this year. So we do believe the capex we've built in is sufficient to sustain the operation throughout the nine year life. So $50 million is sufficient. That includes the blinding circuit as well. We've looked at about six blinding reagents, diesel, kerosene, something called sodium lauryl sulfate, SLS. This work was done in Perth with Lycopodium. I think of crucial importance, the recovery algorithm behind this is based on an examination of the tails grade. It's a much, much more accurate predictor of the recoveries. We've actually tested it through the existing Anata plant in December. We did a pilot sample. A bulk sample of about 50,000-60,000 tons went through, and it gave us some excellent results. We are confident that this new recovery algorithm is accurate and correct, and let's say the blinding circuit is quite fundamental to deliver these improvements in recovery, and enables us to bring in previous high-grade, high-preg-robbing ores that were previously uneconomic, and that really is partially accounts for up to 60,000 ounces of gold that were absent from the previous plan. Kaylee.
The guidance for this year, just looking at the mine plan, sort of made the last leg of it is made up of about 3,500 ounces of gold in the circuit, given the volatility you've had from the sort of reliability of that thing coming in.
Yeah, the gold in circuit does fluctuate quarter on quarter. Yes, we'll be pulling out, we added about 700 ounces this past quarter. That goes up and down. It's typically anywhere between 3,000 and 6,000 ounces in circuit. So yes, there'll be a push in the fourth quarter to draw out the gold in circuit. That will be also doing the same at the end of quarter three. So yes, that is a good observation there.
Do you think it's been allowed?
Yes, yeah. It's something we've you know, sort of well versed and do. It's all to do with the timing of gold pours at Asinata.
The other question I just had was on your all-in costs. It's a little unclear as to whether that includes capex.
Yes,
it does.
It's as per the sort of the World Gold Council standard on that. So the
It includes the capex. It doesn't. It's an Inata all-in, so it doesn't include the corporate. If it did, the number would be more like 1,021.
And then just, sorry, one final question for me. Just about
Well, we've always had an owner-operator fleet at Inata. The mining contractor we brought in was supplementing our own fleet. We brought them in the third quarter last year. It was comprised of 400-ton dump trucks and two excavators, which we actually operated. It was actually rental equipment. So we do have sort of good experience of owning and operating, getting the productivity of our own fleet. So. I think it's fair to say the basis of the life of mine plan is on a conservative 85,000 tons a day. Previously, we've achieved over 100,000 tons a day, so there is some inherent conservatism in that, in the assumptions that make up the plan. Roger.
Just one couple of questions for me. On the working capital, you mentioned that you expect that to sort of normalize or fluctuate over quarter by quarter, but it seems like about half of the move, about 5 million of the move in the last quarter was just a reversal of the increase in payables from the first quarter. So if you were to normalize going forward, how much of a reversal in that working capital move would you expect?
Yeah, the two major elements. One was that the payables. The other one was inventory. And with the rainy season having just started, there's generally a build-up of consumables and spares in the period just running up to that rainy period. So we kind of stock up ready for a period when it's a 2 or 3 months. We can't be sure that we're going to be able to get some of the heavy trucks through. So obviously that. Once we get in through the rainy season, that will tend to tail off, so there won't be as much cash flow out for that. And as far as suppliers are going to concern, that will continue to fluctuate. And during the second half, what we'll see is less capex and less costs on, for example, the AMS fleet. We had contractors in working on earthworks on the tailings facility, so there'll be a number of costs where simply the expenditure goes down, and therefore supply payments would go down. Having said that, the second half is a period when we'll be delivering into 6,000 ounces of hedge a month, so cash flow will be pretty constrained anyway.
Okay. make an initial comment and then pass over the mic. I think this new life of mine plan self-evidently has got much, much stronger cash flows and then a much higher debt-bearing capacity, and that is obviously very, very good news. It remains our preferred option to look at debt before any equity in the in terms of the refinancing. We wouldn't look to dilute our existing shareholders, particularly with the current share price. And ever since we announced the short-term refinancing back in March with Elliot and Macquarie, Mike and his team have been working on the refinancing. Mike, could you provide a bit more of an update on that?
Yeah, a debt solution would definitely be more attractive to shareholders. I think this life of mine plan does allow the debt capacity to be more evident than it was before. And obviously, at the moment, we have a facility with Macquarie, but we actually don't have very much debt with them. We've got the hedge position. And there's also a reasonable amount of cash tied up in the mine already, probably sort of anywhere between $10 and $15 million. By the end of the year, it's probably going to be more like 15 to 20. So there's a reasonable amount of cash tied up anyway. And I think a new debt facility would actually allow us to access both the cash and also some additional funds that conceivably could buy back the hedge or buy back the hedge and fund corporate activities from cash flow. And conceivably all of those plus the repayment to Elliot. So it's definitely a viable scenario. It's one that we're pursuing as a first preference. Should that not be successful, as you say, we do then have the options around Guinea. The feasibility study will also be a key part of discussions with various sources of finance, whether that's debt or equity. A successful project, as far as I'm concerned, is capable of either financing itself or being disposed of, or part disposed of, joint venture financing coming in. Elliot has its security on that asset, so I think Guinea is likely to be a key part of the solution, but it may well be that it doesn't need to be, depending on the discussions on Inata, debt, etc. So I think this life of mine plan, as we've always said, certainly strengthens our hand in those discussions. We've had meetings, discussions with a number of people, including the lending banks, that have been very constructive. We've sort of got a long way to go on those, but with this plan and those discussions, I certainly think it's feasible to focus on the debt side, knowing that there is value to be had for Guinea, without having to spend any time talking about equity.
Just going to go give the people on the lines a chance to answer their questions, then we'll come back for any final questions here. Johnny, could you open the lines up to questions from those who've dialed in?
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the # key. And your first question comes from Brooke Salier. Please ask your question.
Morning, gents. Just following on from the last question, I think, Dave, you mentioned that you've been working on the debt refinance for some time, and Mike, you suggested that there's a long way to go with the banks. What is your confidence that the banks will lend you additional debt before the new carbon blanking circuit is put in 2Q14? And a second question is, do you envisage needing more than $20 million debt on a December 31 this year timeframe?
Brock, I would say my level of confidence is pretty good on the bank side. I mean, when I say there's a long way to go, I'm being sensibly pragmatic about that. Even if one structures commercial terms, there's then all of the documentation, and I wouldn't want to lead anyone to think we're sitting waiting to announce a refinancing tomorrow. So that's not to be taken as a negative, it's just pragmatism. Having said that, constructive conversations, good life of mine plan, the fact that there is cash in the mine and is forecast to be in the mine and building up in the first quarter once the major hedge delivery phase is passed means that, yes, the debt that would be needed to buy back the hedge, which by the end of the year is probably going to be, you know, 35, 38 million net of the cash that's in the mine, it could well be a little bit more than the 20 million. So I don't know exactly what the numbers are going to be, but it's feasible that it could be relatively small initially in terms of debt, and that therefore surplus debt capacity could be available for corporate funding, funding for repaying the Elliott loan. So when I'm talking about could it do all of those three, it's really a question of the hedge having come down by natural deliveries and at today's price, as I say, I think the net cash debt situation at Enata is not going to be as significant as it would have been, you know, 4 to 5 months ago.
Understood. And the banks in these discussions, your forecast and the new mine plan look excellent, but your sort of world gold counts all in the sustaining cash costs are currently perhaps over $1,500 an ounce. How do the banks rationalize your plans against your current actuals?
Well, I think the numbers you're quoting there are for the second quarter cost per ounce.
Yeah.
And obviously, we're not immune to the pressures to reduce our costs. The realities of reducing capex, exploration, etc. The cost in Q2 really reflects the path that we set on, probably even from last year. The production profile built up during the quarter. If you ran the numbers that based on June results, you'd get a different answer. We have indicated with the oxide material for the rest of 2013 and into 2014, that we're looking at more like 12,000 ounces recovered a month, and that obviously has quite an impact on the unit costs. We're not going to be spending as much on exploration if we don't have the funding in place. But obviously, where we are, we had Suma work to do. We were committed to doing that, and it was sensible to see what it would do for the life of mine plan. And we're committed to exploration costs in Guinea. Now, roll the clock forward through the life of mine plan. We don't have those commitments. If we don't have the funds, we don't need to spend money on exploration. Does that cap the upside? Well, implicitly, yes. But if you're really meaning about debt capacity for the banks, for Enata, I think the fact that we don't have to spend on exploration means that it doesn't need to get factored into a unit cost going forward. And that's why going forward, the number I'm talking about there, and including corporate costs, probably just over 1,000, if we assumed a fair amount of exploration over the life of mine, you're still talking, you know, less than $1,100. So it's between, you know, 1,000 and 1,100, depending on if you chose to do exploration. If we didn't, it's closer to 1,000. So I think that's the operative number. That's what the banks are seeing. They're also seeing the drop in the mining levels, which means that the mining departments can be shrunk to a degree. There's some fixed costs in management and so on, but we don't need to carry as many people, and we don't need to carry as many people towards the end of the life of mine once it becomes a less complex operation. Very similar comments in admin, where we've already started taking out the major costs around expat costs, and general headcount and general admin activities will slim down as the mining activities slim down. And once mining stops towards the end of the life of mine, then obviously the cost drops down. So that's what the bank are looking at. They're not looking at Q2 and projecting it forward. So yes, there are some assumed decreases, but they are they're calculated decreases, and they are associated with the development of the life of mine. So that's really how they're looking at it, and that's why I think those conversations have been as constructive as they have.
Great, thanks very much.
Brock, David, I just going back to your
sort of concerns about banks might have on the blinding circuit project. I think it's worth stressing the funding for this is coming from Enata's own cash flow. It is a very low risk project. We can demonstrate progress on the ground already. We've ordered the long lead items. We have a project team assembled, and work is progressing, and we're very confident of its delivery. It's not anything terribly complicated about it. Some foundations, some steel tanks, some piping, and putting it all together. So it's a very, very straightforward project. And even in the scenario when if it's late for any reason, we can carry on, albeit if we feed transition zone ore in that may be mildly carbonaceous, we might suffer some lower recoveries, but that is the worst thing that could happen in this project. We can build it concurrent with operating the current plant.
Great, thanks very much, guys.
Your next question comes from Maurice Mason. Please ask your question.
Thanks. Good morning, gents. Really a quick question for me on the timing of the implementation of these changes to the mine plan. They obviously depend quite heavily on costs coming down in the future, and in the light of your cash management situation, to what extent do you depend on these changes taking place, and how quickly are you planning to make them happen?
Well, to answer that question, in the short term, for the next year or so, we'll be mining oxide ore from our current pits, and the costs will be coming down, as we've emphasised with the contractor being stood down. Thereafter, implementation of the plan is dependent upon the blinding circuit being commissioned in Q2 next year. Thereafter, it's a quite a straightforward plan to understand. It should be plain sailing.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from Dmitry Kalachev. Please ask your question.
Good morning. Thank you very much for the presentation. I think most of my question has been answered. Just a couple of clarifications. On your all-in cost estimate of 958, if I got it right, you said that G&A is excluded. The corporate G&A is excluded from that number.
That's
is it right?
Correct.
Okay. Thanks. And also, in terms of your dollar per ton processing costs when the blinding circuit will be in place, what sort of costs would you be looking for?
Okay, looking at about $18 a ton that's been factored into the life of mine plan.
Okay, thanks. And also, in terms of your working capital, going into 2014, what sort of working capital change could you sort of guide us for?
Going into 2014, did you say, Dimitri?
Yeah.
What I would say is that I don't expect going into 2014 that our working capital will dramatically change. I think the change associated with lower capex and lower mining activity, the absence of some of those earthworks contractors and mining rental equipment, that's going to be a feature of Q3 and Q4. So I think the expenditure level will have come back down by then. There will continue each quarter to be fluctuations depending on the timing of when projects come up, when people invoice us. But overall, I don't really expect very much difference. We're not going to be spending. We're going to be operating the mine and the plant basically the same way, fewer tons, but we're still going to need inventory of tires, reagents, and so on. Suppliers, the balances owing will come down, and there will be quarterly fluctuations, but the overall level, I think, will be pretty stable between the beginning of next year and the end of next year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. There are no further questions on the phone line. Mr. Cather, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Johnny. Are there any final questions in the room here? Kayleigh. Yeah, sure. This year we had a plan. It was about $9 million of expenditure, doing some infill drilling and step-out drilling. With the fall in the gold price, we curtailed that, but we have continued doing some geophysical work, some IP work, to carry on identifying the anomaly, and we've got a very clear plan on where the mineralization is running. Subject to funding, we'll remobilize the exploration team to actually grow the resource. But in parallel with that, we have started preparatory work doing an ESIA on the ground as the precursor to preparing an exploitation permit, which we'll submit to the government based on the 800,000 ounce current resource. We know the current resource is free of any preg robbers. It's got very attractive metallurgical properties, and we've got some high-grade cores, so we're very confident that the Suma will be a satellite feed to the Inata process plant. And part of that feasibility study will be seeing how we amalgamate the feed of Suma ore into the current life of mine plan. Self-evidently, the current plan excludes any Suma ore. Sorry, I didn't quite hear the question. Is this a reference to the note we made in our accounts on the tax assessment, or is it generally what the
government putting up the tax rate
I know that's been talked about. I think the government is noted and seen the fall in the gold price and the fall off in revenues that come into Treasury in WAGA, and I think at the moment they've parked any consideration of further taxing the sector. All right, so if there's no further questions, we'll conclude there. Thanks very much for attending.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.